Chapter 27. Of the order which the devil observes in his assaults and stratagems against those who give themselves to a holy life, and those who are already found in the bondage of sin. You must know, beloved, that the devil seeks nothing but our ruin, and that he does not use the same plan of assault with all. In order to describe to you some of his modes of attack, his devices and wiles, I will set before you several conditions of men. Some are yet in the bondage of sin, and without a thought of leaving it. Others desire to be free, but never make an attempt to get so. Others again imagine that they are walking in the way of holiness, while they are wandering away far from it. Others, lastly, after having attained a high degree of virtue, fall into greater ruin. We will speak of each separately. Chapter 28. Of the assaults and devices which the devil employs against those who are held in the bondage of sin. When the devil holds anyone in the bondage of sin, his great concern is to turn away his mind from every thought which might lead him to discover his most unhappy condition. And not only does he divert the mind from all thoughts and godly inspirations which may call him to repentance, by instilling thoughts foreign to the subject, but by occasions, ready and prepared for him, he makes him fall into his old sins, or even into worse ones. Thus, his blindness waxing thicker and denser, he more deeply plunges into a headlong and reckless course of sin, and passing from one stage of darkness to another, and from sin to fouler sin, his wretched life like a wheel runs on even to death, unless God of his grace should provide some means of stopping him. The remedy for one in this unhappy state, on his side, is to be ready to listen to every whisper and godly inspiration which calls him from darkness to light, crying with all his heart to his Creator, O my Lord, help me speedily, leave me not any longer in this darkness of sin. Let him never grow weary of repeating this prayer, and of others like it, but cry over and over again. And, if possible, let him have recourse without a moment's delay to some spiritual father, and ask for counsel and assistance that he may be delivered from the enemy. But if this cannot be done at once, let him promptly cast himself before the crucified, and there, prostrating himself at his sacred feet, let him cry for mercy, and ask also for the pity and aid of the Mother of God. And be assured that in doing this immediately lies the victory, as you will learn from the next chapter. Chapter 29. Of the wiles and delusions by which the devil holds captive those who are conscious of their misery and desire to be free, and how it is our resolutions are so often fruitless. Those who know their evil life and desire to change it are often ensnared and overcome by the devil by such weapons as these. Not now, not now. Cross, cross, is the raven's cry. Tomorrow, tomorrow. I must first settle this or that, arrange my affairs, remove this obstacle, and then I shall be able to attend to spiritual matters with greater tranquility. This is a snare which has caught and still catches a vast number of people, and its success arises from our own negligence and carelessness, which make us, in a business in which both the honor of God and the salvation of our soul are at stake, so slow to seize that most powerful weapon, now, now, wherefore not now? Today, today, wherefore tomorrow? Saying to yourself, even supposing this by and by, this tomorrow be granted me, is it a safe course and the way of victory to choose first to be wounded and to be guilty of fresh irregularities? You see then, beloved, that to escape this snare and to overcome the enemy, the remedy is, as has been already mentioned, instant correspondence with the divine suggestions and inspirations. Ready obedience to them, I say, and not mere resolves, for these often are deceptive, and many from various causes have remained deceived by them. The first reason is, as above referred to, that our good resolves are not based upon self-distrust and trust in God. Our excessive pride, which is the source of this delusion and blindness, hinders us from discovering this. The light which discloses the evil and the medicine which cures it, both come from the goodness of God, who suffers us to fall, that he may lead us from trust in self to trust in him alone, and from pride to self-knowledge. Your resolutions, therefore, to be effectual, must be firmly made, and this they cannot be unless they are freed from all trust in self and are humbly based upon trust in God. The second reason is that when we make our resolutions, we dwell on the beauty and value of virtue, and these draw out our will, frail and slack as it is. But when we come to face the difficulties which must be surmounted before the virtue can be attained, our will, being weak and inexperienced, fails and shrinks back from the effort. Accustom yourself, therefore, to love the difficulties which accompany the attainment of virtues even more than the virtues themselves, and use these difficulties, now a little and now much, so as to strengthen your will, if you really desire to acquire these virtues. Know also that the more generously you embrace and value these difficulties, the more speedy and complete shall be your victory over yourself and your enemies. The third reason is that in making our resolutions, we are prone to keep in view not the virtue and the divine will, but our own interest. This is often the case with resolutions which we form in times of spiritual joy or crushing trial, when we feel nothing bring us relief but the resolve to give ourselves wholly to God and to the practice of virtue. In order to avoid this danger, be in times of spiritual delight very cautious and humble in your resolutions, and especially as to promises and vows. And in trial, let your resolutions be to bear your cross patiently, according to the will of God, and to exalt it, refusing all earthly and sometimes even heavenly consolation. Let your one desire and your one prayer be that God would enable you to bear all adversity without marring the virtue of patience, and without anything that may displease your Lord. Chapter 30. Of the delusion of those who imagine that they are going on to perfection. Our enemy, when he is repulsed in his first and second assault and stratagem, has in his malice recourse to a third, which is to keep our eyes fixed on some higher degree of perfection, making us aspire to and aim after it, and thus rendering us forgetful of the enemies who are close at hand, and are actually assaulting and injuring us. Hence we are continually wounded, but pay no regard to our wounds, and, estimating our intentions as if they were fulfilled, we are filled with various feelings of pride. Thus, while we will not brook the least contradiction of word or deed, we spend our time in making long meditations and resolutions about bearing sufferings sharper than those which shall be hereafter for the love of God. And because our lower nature, in the case of pains which are so far off, feels no repugnance to them, therefore do we poor creatures flatter ourselves that we are already to be classed with those who endure agonies patiently. To avoid this snare, resolve to fight against those enemies who are close at hand and are really attacking you. You will in this way discover whether your resolutions are true or deceptive, strong or frail, and you will travel on towards virtue and perfection by the well-beaten and royal road. But with regard to enemies who are not now wont to harass you, unless you foresee that they are likely at some time hence to do so, I do not advise you to offer battle. You may, however, make resolutions beforehand, that you may then be found prepared and strong. Let not your resolutions be estimated by their effects, even though you should have long and rightly exercised yourself in virtue, but be humble as to them, and distrust yourself and your own weakness. And putting your trust in God, with frequent prayers fly to Him for succor and protection from dangers, and especially from the danger of the very least presumption and self-confidence. But in the case of slight defects, which sometimes the Lord permits to remain unconquered in order to increase our self-knowledge or to guard some other good in us, it is notwithstanding allowable to form resolutions of attaining to some higher degree of perfection.